is here with us, and we have a special guest with us today, Elizabeth Lopez-Lyons. She is an LGBT partnership specialist with the United States Census Bureau. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And
we're going to do a mic check.
Okay, we are going to do a mic check. Make sure that mic is working.
Hello.
And
can you hear me?
Not really.
Not really.
So Patty is coming to this side of the desk. Laurent and Elizabeth are going to share a mic over there. And we're just going to talk a little bit while everybody's rearranged. The census is coming up. The United States sends out a census form that everybody fills out. Young people like you, Laurent, might not remember this because you were only five the last census. But every 10 years, there's a census done. How long has this been done, and why do we do a census?
Well, the first census was done in 1790, and it is required by the U.S. Constitution. Article 1, Section 2 says that we must count everybody living in the U.S. every 10 years. So it is mandated by law, by the Constitution, that we do this.
And when you say everybody living here has nothing to do with immigrant or immigration status, it has nothing to do with your age, it has nothing to do with anything like that. Everybody has to be counted.
Correct, and that's it. We count everyone living in the U.S. So no matter if you arrived, 2 weeks before the census and are living here, we're going to count you.
Right. So, and you're saying living here. So if somebody has come in, like on a work visa for 6 months, they're counted.
They're counted, right? But if you're here to, visit a friend for a couple weeks,
you're not counted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, you have to have an address, though, wouldn't you?
Correct. Last year, you may have seen these people with these little handheld GPS things going door-to-door, verifying addresses all over the United States. And, they put in the GPS coordinates of each resident. So each resident, each address will get a form. It doesn't go to a person. There's no name on the form. It just goes to each address. So everybody in an apartment will get one, everybody in a duplex, everybody living wherever they're living, they're going to get one.
Okay. Now, that's interesting. How did they do it originally? Did they use, like, a stone...
They just said, hey, everybody
GPS.
Down to the town square.
Well, actually, what I heard is the first census was done by U.S. Marshals on horseback with these little tablets and pencils, and they went horseback house to house trying to get all the people. Obviously, it probably wasn't very accurate, but that's what they did back then.
The original census was just counting the number of people. So
correct.
They go to one household, how many people live here? Three. One,
right.
Two, three.
Correct.
Who lives in the next one?
Mm-hmm.
We look for more than that now, but not a whole lot more.
Not a whole lot more. This year will be one of the shortest questionnaires in census history. It's about 10 questions. It should take somebody about 10 minutes to fill out for each person in their household. And again, the information is good for the next 10 years. So again, it's a really short form. 2000 had the long form. Some houses got that. Well, that's now part of the American Community Surveys, and that's done all the time. So essentially, somebody could get, an American Community Survey, which is the long form where they get all this information, and then everybody will also get the decennial questionnaire as well.
Why is it important to be counted at all?
Well, it's very important because, first of all, $400 billion every year of federal funding comes from the census. Also, apportionment, the House of Representatives, those numbers are based on census numbers.
And if you're politically active in some way, then you realize how important that is, because it could mean additional representatives. For example, in Texas, I think the last census gave us an additional two districts in Congress, and where it's based on population.
Well, so, what if you're like me and you'd really rather that those extra two seats stayed in a place like New York?
Nah, get away.
For political reasons, because I know who we're going to elect here.
Well, it's very, very important because it does affect how many people speak for us, because the House, the Senate's fixed at 2 per state.
Yeah, I don't want Tom DeLay speaking for me.
It's okay, he's not.
No, okay. He's gone. Okay. What about people, though? You said we have every address. It's in a GPS unit. They've taken that to know where to mail the census forms. The ones who aren't, who don't return a form, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But what about people who don't have an address? Because there are plenty of people who are homeless.
That is correct. And what we have been doing as partnership specialists, we have been working with our partners to get the information about where the homeless are. You know, what corner are they living? Are they living under the certain bridge? And we document this information, and we give it to our local census office, and they'll do a homeless count. And so if you're an organization that works with the homeless, let us know. I mean, we've done a pretty good job, we think, in the Dallas area, but there are some areas in Texas where, you know, they don't know where the homeless are. And so it's important that if you do work with an organization that deals with the homeless, let us know so we can get an accurate count.
So I'm assuming that you visited some shelters.
Well, shelters, we count
as an address.
As an address, yeah. Yes, and it's group quarters. But they will actually go out to the sites where the people are living and go count them.
Yeah, because I was wondering if you run into the possibility of double counting. If someone is staying at a shelter and then sometimes they're sleeping on the street.
Well, there will be one day that they'll go out and do the homeless count.
Gotcha.
And then the group quarters. A lot of times, though, and the way I understand this, and you might correct me if I'm wrong, is it's the people that are living on the streets are people that can't get into shelters for some reason or another. Maybe they're violent or they're on drugs or something. And so there's certain restrictions that some of the shelters have. And so they're probably not going to be in those shelters and be counted twice.
Unfortunately, I do know a little bit about
okay.
this. And that might be part of it. But sometimes some shelters actually charge you to stay there.
Right.
I was really surprised about that. And it's a small fee, but still. So they might be sleeping there one night and can't help for it the next night and they're on the street. So it's a back and forth thing.
Right, right.
And that would be taken care of by just doing it one day.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Huh.
Correct.
Confidentiality. You are asking for names. So the first question or the fourth question is last name and first name. Is that going to be released somewhere?
No. We also ask for a phone number. That's in case there's a question about what's on the form. But that personal identifiable information is strictly confidential. We only use the information for statistical purposes only. So we take the confidentiality very seriously. As census employees, we take an oath for the rest of our lives. And though many of us are temporary, we take it for the rest of our lives never to release that information. We could be fined up to $250,000 or go to jail for 5 years. It's been tested in the Supreme Court. It trumps the Patriot Act. It trumps Freedom of Information Act. So that we take it very, very seriously, the confidentiality.
And trumps any immigration laws.
Correct. Absolutely. I like to say we're the one federal agency that can keep that information from any other federal agency. We just don't do it.
Now, countries like Australia, they have like required voting. And if you don't vote, they go find you and they say you have to vote. Is there any sort of penalty for anybody who doesn't fill out a census? What happens if you don't get a form back?
You
know that you sent one to an address and you never heard from them.
Well, what happens is they're all barcoded. All of the forms are barcoded. And so if a form doesn't get back in a certain amount of time, they'll send a letter to say, hey, we haven't got your form. Fill it out, return it. And then if they don't get anything, that's when you'll start seeing the enumerators, the people going door to door to get that information. So a census employee can essentially go up to a person's house up to 7 times to get that information. And what happens, though, is that the accuracy of the information will drop if they have to go door to door or if they have to ask somebody's neighbor, hey, who's living in this house? So the best way is to fill it out, return it by mail.
And so that's what happens with houses that are vacant.
Correct.
If a house is vacant, somebody will go to each vacant house, look at the house. Sometimes you can tell, sometimes you can't tell whether it's vacant. There might be furniture in there, but nobody's living there then. So they'll go to a neighbor.
They'll go to a neighbor and ask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Undoubtedly, I'm sure in every census there's got to be some percentage of error. Not every single 100% person is counted. How big is that, do you know?
That I do not know.
Okay.
We try to get everybody. And what happens is we have what we call a mail response rate. And it was in the low 70s percentage in 2000. So that's why we take the enumerators to go back. And will we miss some people? we probably will. But since we have to get the numbers to the president by the 31st of December, you know, there's a certain time frame, probably up to late July, that we'll keep going and trying to get that information. Mm-hmm. So that's why we tell people, when you get it, just fill it out and return it. That's the most accurate information. Nobody will come to your door. And we get those numbers, you know, accurately.
Now, we're embarking now upon a census that will actually be able to count LGBT households or couples.
Couples,
we should say.
That is correct.
And it's true, though, that you're not going to be able to identify a transgender person via the census or single lesbians and gays?
Correct. We're counting people. We don't count any, we're not counting sexual orientation. We are counting people, again, for the funding, the representation. However, this year, we are doing something different. And I'll give you a little history. In 1990, the census decided it's going to put unmarried partner on the form. Try to get a better, you know, feel of the heterosexual couples. Well, what they didn't expect was for same-sex couples to fill that out. And so they got data that was unavailable anywhere. And so it was really big. And then in 2000, so they counted them as unmarried partners. Some people, unfortunately, in 1990, if they put husband or wife and they were same-sex, they thought, uh-oh, somebody made a mistake and changed it for the married people only. The unmarried partners, they left alone. And then in 2000, unmarried partners, like 600,000 unmarried partners had put that, same-sex unmarried partners, and some put married. Well, they counted them all as unmarried partners. The good news this year is if you're married, same-sex couple, and you, whether it's something that you did legally or you just had a ceremony or you believe yourself to be married, no matter where you live, and you put husband or wife on the form, we're going to count you as a same-sex married couple.
Because person one would put that in the relationship to person one, and then you'd both be the same gender.
Correct.
So
right.
That's the way you'd be able to tell.
That is the way.
Okay, so here in the studio we have three different circumstances. Laron and Danny were actually married. They were planning on having a baby, and Laron didn't want to have an illegitimate baby. So he and Danny decided to make a very traditional family. A traditional family of one husband, and a baby, and a surrogate. Just a traditional family, right?
Right, that's traditional, absolutely.
Patty and Aaron were never married, have no intentions of marrying.
Now.
No, but that's what the two of you have said.
That's what y'all have said.
I know, but there may come a day when we marry.
You were just anticipating my next sentence that Patty has very good sense. No. No,
it's not.
But you have no intention.
It's not legal for us to be married now. It wouldn't be recognized by the state. So we want to see that happen.
Okay, so you're actually waiting for Texas to legalize, and then you would consider actually having a ceremony. Okay, and then Miguel and I aren't married. We live together. We share a house. You know, we do everything together, like dinner and go out together. But we are not a couple.
And yet, you're both gay.
Yes. So all three of us could put married to be counted for the sake of being counted. It's self-identified. Doesn't matter whether or not we legally are like Danny and Laron. Doesn't matter if they really are partners like Patty and Aaron, or if you're just whatever the hell we are.
Correct.
Right? Okay, and we could do that. But there are actually other categories that we could put down that would make sense. Like Patty and Aaron could put unmarried partner.
Correct. Right.
In that case, would they be counted as a gay couple?
Yes, they would. However, if Patty and Aaron felt like they were married, like I use my brother as an example. My brother-in-law have been together 20 years or so.
Wow.
They are married in every sense of the way, you know, house together, everything. They're going to put married, and they're very excited that they can put husband or wife on that. My sister and her partner have been together about 5 years, very committed, but not really married, so they're going to put unmarried partner. And that goes for a heterosexual couple as well. You know, if you're living with somebody and you believe you're married, you put husband or wife. So it's self-identifiable. That's the beauty of the census form. It's how you identify yourself is what you're going to put down.
And then the questions are in slightly different order. Person one answers the form. And then the relationship is defined by person two, person three, person four.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So that's how it doesn't come out that I say Miguel's my partner. He says, no, he's just a pain in the butt.
Right. Right.
Which so actually is one of the categories.
Here. Right. Yeah. So for if he was person number two, in question number two, he would put housemate or roommate or roommate or boarder because you don't have an intimate relationship.
This one I find interesting. How is the person related? You have biological son or daughter, adopted son or daughter. Did they ever count the number of adopted people before?
Wow, that is interesting.
That I'm not sure.
I don't remember ever seeing that before. And I think that's interesting because in not every case does a kid know that they're adopted. Now, it has to be filled out by somebody 15 years of age or older.
Correct.
So you're assuming the parent is going to do that.
Right.
And in most cases, maybe not Laurent's, he might not be sure, it's certainly going to be the person, the parent, would know.
Right. But again, it's how they want to identify. If that parent says, under all circumstances, this is my biological son or daughter, even though I adopted, and they want to put biological, they'll put biological, and we're not going to be the wife.
Because actually, in their case, if Laurent is person one...
Well, one of us is the biological, and one of us is the adoptive parent.
Well, then, if you're whoever the biological father is in number one, then it definitely is biological son or daughter to relationship to number one, to person number one.
So you're going to see, you're going to have a person one, person two.
So you have to be person one in your household so that you can put Gabrielle as
your
biological daughter.
Okay.
As opposed to Danny, who would have to put her as adopted daughter. Isn't that interesting?
That's interesting.
Yes.
And I'm just guessing. I'm just guessing that Elin Woods, it might just mark unmarried partner on her form. She gets it first.
Well, I'm going through a divorce, and we're still legally married, and my husband lives in Oklahoma, still legally married, but he moved his unmarried partner in with him. I'm like, how are you going to fill that out? Because you're still married and have your unmarried partner in there. So that's going to be kind of interesting. But again, he probably put single or, not married and then have unmarried partner. So again,
it's how you self-identify.
It's how you self-identify. Gotcha. Absolutely.
And this has to do with your household, not your legal situation.
Exactly. It's your household and how you identify your household.
Oh, we didn't think about these heterosexual
people. I know. We have issues too.
Complicated issues. Maybe we should start a show about that.
So Aaron and I could put, whoever happens to be person one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's up to us,
right?
How we decide that. And then so person one and person two are related. We could put husband or wife simply because we feel that we are married.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. Very good.
And you do put question number three is whether you're male or female. So if it's two women putting unmarried or married partner.
Right.
Then you extrapolate that as being gay.
Correct.
And the only one that you wouldn't is if Miguel and I put housemates. There's one category that says roomer or boarder. The other one says housemate or roommate. So if we put housemate, then you would not count us as gay.
Correct. And there was a study done after the 2000 census where they asked, gay and lesbian couples, how did you identify? And a lot of people put roommate or housemate. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not going to reflect a close, intimate relationship. And so because everything is confidential and because we don't release that information to anybody, it's okay if, mom and dad don't know. Still put it on your census form as unmarried partner or married partner so you can be counted as such. A roommate or boarder, it's just going to be roommate or boarder, and it's not going to reflect a same-sex couple.
We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 HD1 in Dallas.
Are you having a hard time selling that old car or truck? Maybe you don't want the hassle of selling it, or you've just hung on to it for too long. That's what the KNON Vehicle Donation Program is for. Call 877-KNON-AUTO or donate online at knon.org. The tow truck comes to your home and picks up the vehicle. They give you the paperwork that you'll need and relieve the stress of what to do with the old car that just won't sell. Your donation goes to support the great programming here on KNON. The number to call is 877-KNON-AUTO or online at knon.org.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And we're back on Lambda Weekly. I'm Patty Fink.
You're listening to North Texas Polka Radio on 89.3.
You know, that one was going to announce that it's the Polka Show.
Oh. Well, we beat that one. And we're back in the studio now with Patty Fink, David Taffet, Laron Landis, and our guest today is Elizabeth Lopez-Lyon from the U.S. Census Bureau. And we're excited
that you're
here.
And this is not the Polka Show.
And this is not the Polka Show. Exactly.
But Alex just did a new bumper for them, too.
Well, I wanted to mention that there's an event coming up in North Texas that is open attendance. It would be great if you could RSVP just so that people have a number. But Equality Texas, our statewide LGBT civil rights organization, and Collin County Gay and Lesbian Alliance are sponsoring an event on March 5th. That's a Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And you can go to the CCGLA website at www.ccgla.org. And it's right at the top, and you can click on that and find out where to go. But it'll be an opportunity to learn more about the census, talk with others, find out how everybody's going to be doing this, and, you know, different, how your friends are going to be answering the questions, and really learn more.
Now, if you live in Collin County, don't send in your census form because we really don't want them to have more representation.
Now. I wasn't supposed to say that.
When is Census Day? When are the census forms going out?
Well, the forms will be mailed out mid-March, March 15th.
Wait. That wasn't on. Let's do that again. So, when is Census Day?
Census Day is April 1st. The forms are being mailed out mid-March, so mm-hmm. You'll get them in the mail, probably March 15th or later. Although we say April 1st is the census day, and that's what you base your form on when you fill it out, the minute you get it, fill it out and return it. That way it's done.
It's done.
You know who's going to be in your household on April 1st. Fill it out and return it as soon as you get it. That's just the easiest way.
And one of the things that you can do as an LGBT person or household is to go to Queer the Count.
It's queerthecensus.org. The National Gay and Lesbian Task Force is doing their own kind of thing to get more. They want to do policy change, and so they're showing, the census and the government that this is how many people are LGBTQ or straight allies, and they get a pink sticker, put it on the back of the envelope, and mail it back. And while they understand. We can't change the form now. It's just a way for them to get people talking about it. We were at Creating Change a couple weeks ago, and we were kind of worried, Queer the Census, was going to be kind of backlash because we don't ask anybody's sexual orientation. But for us, it raised awareness about the census, and people were excited that, hey, I can put my relationship on the form, and I'm going to be counted. So what we thought would be bad pub was really great because people were talking about the census. They were getting information. They were excited about it. They're going to get their forms and fill it out, and that's what we want everybody to do.
And there's this form, this sticker you can get for free.
Correct.
So all you have to do is go to the queerthecensus.org. And fill out the information to have one sent to you, and you can get it for free.
Correct.
And you do it now, it'll come in time to include on the back of your envelope.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Before the show, we talked about the issue of race, and that's something has that always been counted in the census?
Not always. I'm not sure when it started to be counted, but
it
over
wasn't
the
in 1790.
No. No, not so much.
Actually, in the original Constitution, someone who was African American was only considered
three-fourths.
Three-fourths of a person.
Three-fifths.
Three-fifths of a person. Three-fifths. Thank you. We have Elizabeth has her peeps here, and she's sending us some signals. Three-fifths of a person, so they were counted originally. They did count slaves. They counted.
But they weren't counting
Were they counted in the census?
They were counted for purposes of apportioning representatives. But they didn't keep separate forms, a state might have ended up with, you know, 60,000 and three quarters people.
Gotcha.
Or three-fifths
right.
people or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the interesting thing that you informed me about was the fact that if you are an interracial couple or a multiracial family, whoever fills out the head of household, that's what the entire household will be considered as.
Correct.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Do you know why is that?
That's a very good question.
Well, because they're counting households.
They're counting households, right. Mm-hmm. And for certain programs, certain services that, you know, the federal government has for counties or states, you know, how many Hispanics or households are in this area? Do we need, you know, some ESL programs
right.
in this area? That's what it helps. But everybody, it does break down. Every person does identify as a race and ethnicity, but for a household, it's person number one. That is that's the household that will be counted.
And the real why is because that's what Congress decided they wanted.
That is correct. That is correct. We do not pick the questions. Congress decides. They have
okay.
a committee. They decide what those questions are, and we do what Congress says. And they said, here are the 10 questions. Ask them. Get the information.
Although Congress never said, hey, we need to know how many gay and lesbian households there are, so count them. What the Census Bureau did was they took what Congress mandated, which was counting, one of the things they mandate is counting married couples, and they said, okay, we'll count them. And it's just how you count them.
It is how we count them.
Massachusetts has legal same-sex marriage. The Census Bureau said, okay, well, we'll count them.
Right. Well, it was actually last year where the current administration said, we will count married couples. Prior to that, it was going to be unmarried partners. So the Obama administration overturned that and said, yes, if a couple puts married, we're going to count them as married. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's pretty phenomenal for a federal agency to be doing that.
And you're the first federal agency to recognize same-gender marriages.
Correct. So, that's, you know, it's a baby step, but it's a step nonetheless, which I'm very proud of.
And maybe in the future, in future censuses, would you say sensei? I don't know. they'll just simply ask the question, how do you self-identify? Gay, lesbian, bisexual, heterosexual, you know,
correct.
Unknown, other kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if they just ask the question, because a tremendous problem in our community that has been around forever is that we are perennially undercounted in every way, shape, or form, in every aspect. Because, you know, get everybody raise your hand for the next 5 minutes while we count how many LGBT people mm-hmm. are out. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, because the last census count, and which only counted couples, what was it, like 3%?
Something like that. It's very
and
small.
And that's way under what we have always assumed to be at least 10%.
Well, but what's so insidious about that is, you know, we always count 10%, and that's based on the Kinsey survey in mm-hmm. 1948. The census found 3%, but what they were finding was 3% living in a relationship that could be counted. And like you said, unmarried households were counted. Married people who checked married were not counted. So we found 3%. But the whole idea that, oh, well, it's only 3%, so you don't deserve rights. But, oh, if it's 10%, then you deserve rights. What's the number where everybody gets equal rights?
Oh, but
there is no number.
There isn't.
It's
right.
A silly,
absolutely.
Silly
yeah.
argument.
But it's the stupid thing is that the right wing says, you know, well, it's 2%. They keep giving us this big, mm-hmm. this big number of 2%. And yet we have the power to destroy civilization as we know it. So if there's even more of us, imagine our power. Just imagine.
Well, but, I mean, those hurricanes in Florida and the snowstorm that we
all
had
of
last
that
week.
Stuff.
See, one of the things that I'd really like is, and it would be useful to me, is if not only if we counted how many lesbians there are, but I had so much damage at my house from the snowstorm. I had a tree on my roof, a tree in my pool, a tree in my garage, just a tree on my car. It took two of us to get my car out. It was, what a mess. See, I want to know not just how many lesbians, but how many actually own chainsaws.
That probably won't appear on the census.
Say,
it would
yeah,
be
probably
helpful.
Just
not.
A heads up.
But
yeah. I think it's not going to be.
But
there.
It's about me, and I'm looking for things that will be helpful to me, and that would be.
Gotcha.
That won't be counted.
Yeah, no, probably no. not. Yeah.
And another big sector, I think, of our community are single people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that single people will not be counted, but if you're in a committed relationship in the same household, than you can be. And that's really important that we see, we optimize that and people really, you know, pay attention and get that form filled out and returned with that pink sticker on it.
With the pink sticker.
With the pink sticker. With the free pink sticker.
Free pink sticker. I have actually have my free pink sticker from Creating Change.
We do too. Yes. We got it at Creating Change.
Yeah. Will they count those or
no?
No, nobody's going to count those at all.
Unfortunately, they will go into the trash.
Yeah.
But again, it's the task force's way of just, you know, doing their outreach, I guess, to let people know that, yes, you know, I'm sure if they get a bunch of them, someone's going to notice. But in reality, we're not going to count those at all.
And it really is too bad, because if the information's there, it would be nice if they just, not as part of the official report, but actually, you know what, an awful lot of these are coming in. Let's just count and see. And it would be an interesting...
It would be. I mean, for a
bureau that does nothing but statistics,
yes,
it really would be... an interesting count to see how many people went to the Creating Change or
Queer the Census
website, got these stickers, and actually bothered to put them in.
And it could be just a straightforward count like that. This is how many came in the mail.
This is how many came in the mail, right.
Well, I'm sure the task force will say, this is how many stickers we gave out.
Right.
That's true.
You know,
true.
And not, we don't know how many will be mailed, but this is how many we gave out, which in and of itself could be quite an enormous number.
Why don't we go to the entertainment report? We are talking to Elizabeth Lopez-Lyon. She is an LGBT specialist with the Census Bureau.
Elton John has found himself in controversy again for his claim in an interview with Parade magazine that Jesus Christ was a, quote, compassionate, super intelligent gay man, and that he understood human problems. Of course, the religious leaders and conservatives alike have went ballistic at Elton's claim. He says in response that as someone who was persecuted and someone who forgave people, that's how he sees Jesus Christ. Elton went on to say that, quote, I'm not saying to everyone that he was definitely gay. That's just how I see him. So,
wow.
Which part didn't they like? The gay part or the intelligent part?
Or the compassionate part.
The compassionate part. Thank you, Alex.
I'll let them answer that.
Okay.
Interesting nonetheless. Openly gay fashion designer Alexander McQueen was found dead this week in his London apartment just the day before his mother's funeral. Though the coroner's office has yet to formally rule his death a suicide, he was found hanging along with the note in addition to tweeting several messages regarding his grief about his mother's death. Now, Alexander's not a household name yet, but you've definitely seen his work. He was the one who created and designed the dress that Janet Jackson wore during the now infamous Super Bowl wardrobe malfunction. He's also the one who created most of Lady Gaga's outfits. He was only 40 years old. Really sad story.
And I suspect that maybe the wardrobe malfunction was not like a planned piece, or that he creates faulty work. You know, it's just a guess that it was something that happened after he delivered this, you know, perfect piece.
I don't know. Maybe we should ask Justin Timberlake. He's the one who tore it off.
Did the top fall off?
No, not at all.
How's this for family values? Choosing your family over religion. In an interview with GQ magazine, Oscar-nominated actress and Brokeback Mountain co-star Anne Hathaway says that she and her parents have officially left the Catholic Church because of the religion's views on gay issues. Anne, whose brother is gay, says that she and her parents became Episcopalians shortly after he came out. Quote, the whole family converted to Episcopalianism after my older brother came out. Why should I support an organization that has limited my view of my beloved brother? You go, girl.
She does.
That rocked.
And a lot of people speculated on the blogs and such that her cred in Hollywood would go way up, because people go, Anne Hathaway, now who's that?
Yeah.
And, oh, she's the one that left the Catholic Church.
Yeah, she did. She did. And last, in a stunning admission, a UK award-winning journalist, Ray Gosling, has admitted to the mercy killing of his former gay lover who was suffering from AIDS. Now, the 70-year-old journalist confessed to his former that he killed him with he suffocated him with a pillow. In a documentary on BBC, and the BBC says that they didn't even know that he was going to mention that. They didn't even know about it. So they were just as shocked about this admission as everyone else was. He said that he would not disclose the hospital hospital where his partner died, nor his partner's name. And, of course, the police are now investigating to see if this even really happened. But he says...
Well, he had been arrested, and now he's not on bail.
He has been arrested. Okay.
And
okay.
He was out on bail this morning.
Well, so maybe, I guess they found some truth to it. He says that he has no regrets. He did the right thing, adding, when you love someone, it's difficult to see them suffer. What a story.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we were talking a bit before the show. There are 4 out lesbians at the Olympics, the Winter Olympics this year.
That's wonderful. None from America.
None from the United States.
Okay. Stupid question. Have you seen any figure skating?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And there are no out gay men there, huh?
Well, we're talking about out gay
men. Out.
Oh, out gay men.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the time I was writing an article on a skating group, and I said, is there anybody in this troupe that's out, because we'd like to interview them. And the publicist came back and said, you know, I don't know if any of our skaters are gay. I said, I saw the pictures. I didn't ask if any of them were gay. I said, are any of them out? And he just started laughing and couldn't find it.
Now, the last Olympics, the last Summer Olympics, there were 10 out athletes, none of whom from the United States.
Not from the United States.
You know, so if you want to check out these out women, it's at afterellen.com, and they're all pretty cute.
And if you want a list of the gay men who aren't out, I'll have that for you next week, because it's a very long list. We are talking to Elizabeth Lopez-Lyon. She is the LGBT specialist with the United States Census. The census is going to be mailed out on March 15th, due back by April 1st. You can serve many years in jail if you don't send this in. Armed census workers will be coming around arresting people who have not filled it out, or no?
No. We will not arrest anybody. We will visit a household up to about 7 times to get the information. And, of course, that will cost the federal government money. Mm-hmm. So I like to say, just fill it out. Nobody comes to your door. Fill it out and return it.
And no fava beans and a nice Chianti.
That's right. None of that either.
You know, we're joking about being arrested, but there really is a fear, especially from some immigrants who are here, about being noticed or identified at all, and they really don't participate in filling out the census. And I've seen on TV anyway, there's been an above and beyond effort to change that. To let them know that they have nothing to be worried about. They need to fill it out because, again, like you were saying, as long as you reside here, you should be counted.
Correct. And that's what the partnership program of the Census Bureau is. We go out and we create partnerships. We have people that do special initiatives, like I do the LGBT outreach, and I also work with governmental complete count committees. We have what we call geographical specialists who work in, you know, certain geographical areas. We have people that are working with the border initiative. So all of us are specialized in some way or another to reach out to the communities that we consider hard to count, minorities, people, renters, children are generally undercounted. Either they just forget to put them on the form, or, you know, they don't understand the form, but children are generally undercounted. The elderly are undercounted. So this is what we call our hard-to-count population. And so that's why we work with partners, faith-based organizations, community-based organizations, businesses, governmental agencies, to get the word out about how safe it is. It's easy, again, 10 questions or less, 10 minutes. It's important, the federal funding, and it's safe. We have to let people know how safe it is. And so for somebody who is an immigrant and is afraid to, we want them to know that it is purely confidential. But what I just found out recently at Creating Change is, if I'm an immigrant and I fill out a census form now, I can ask for that information and show that that's how long I've been living here. I did 2 censuses, and here's the proof. So some people use that to get their residency, and
gotcha.
But only you can ask for that information. Nobody else can. So it's a record of you living here. Mm-hmm. And at Creating Change, there was a lawyer who was saying, yes, this information is there, and you can ask for it and prove that you've been living here this long. And a woman in our office, Paula Wright, who does our data services, she goes, oh, yeah, a lot of people don't know that, but it is absolutely a good way to show that you've been living here. So, again, you know, we understand renters, you have 10 people in the apartment and you're only allowed 4. We're not going to tell people there's 10 people in the apartment. We just want the information.
There's actually room on the form for 12.
Yes, so yes.
We need to take a break. We're talking to Elizabeth Lopez Lyon with the U.S. Census Bureau. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
KNON thanks you for your pledge to our recent pledge drive. However, that pledge only counts if you pay it. To make your voice count here at The Voice of the People, send your pledge to KNON 710909, Dallas, Texas, 75371. If you missed our pledge drive, you can still support community radio by pledging on the web, knon.org. Your vote for your favorite radio program on KNON is your pledge. Your pledge only counts if you pay it. Don't lose what you want on 89.3 FM. Send your pledge today. KNON, Box 710909, Dallas, Texas, 75371. And be sure to put the name of the show you're supporting on your check, money order, or the envelope. Questions about KNON Pledge Drive, call 214-828-9500, extension 234.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet here in the studio with Alex and Patty and Lauren, and we're talking to Elizabeth Lopez Lyon, the LGBT specialist with the U.S. Census Bureau. A couple of the questions that are on here, I think, are they're not interesting. They're just dull statistical questions, but they're there, and I have a question on how we don't double count. It says, does this person sometimes live or stay somewhere else? One of them is in a nursing home. So if you have somebody in a nursing home, just like with the homeless, you're going to go out one day and count the homeless.
Right, we're going to do the group quarters. That's part of the group quarters. Prisons are part of the group quarters. College dorms are part of the group quarters.
So if you were caring for an elderly parent, and we know that in the LGBT community, there's a preponderance of that, because if you have three brothers and sisters, it's always... No, I'm married, I have kids. You're the one who can take care of mom, and it's the gay person in the family very often.
Or the single person.
Or the single person. That's the other thing. Or the single person, right. So do you count that person or not?
Well, what they will do is if you put, you know, whatever person number they are, and you say, yes, they are in, you know, a nursing home, and you have their name on there, then they'll match up that name with the nursing home, you know, so that they're not double counted, because they'll get all the names of the people in the nursing home. It's like a whole different form for the group quarters that they'll go through and make sure that everybody on that is counted.
Okay, now does this person sometimes live or stay somewhere else? One of the other choices is in jail or prison. Taking Patty's case, Aaron, who sometimes lives in prison. Somebody who's in jail, count them or not count them, or doesn't matter because the person will be matched?
They'll be counted. They can go ahead and put them down, but for all intents and purposes, they'll be counted in the jail that they reside in.
And really, I guess this would come up, and I actually am talking half seriously here. Let's say somebody is in county jail 1 month for whatever. But you're going to go to the jails and do your group count.
Group quarters.
But then you're going to double check to make, you know. And,
right.
And the person at home doesn't think of this person as being in prison.
Correct.
They're in jail for a few weeks.
Right.
But on your counting day, that person's in jail. The person says, no, he lives here. He'll be back in a couple of weeks.
They have things in place to make sure that they're not counted twice.
Right. Okay. Right. And that was my real question.
Right.
So people are very, and I meant it as a serious question, people are very safe to answer yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, same thing with college housing?
College housing as well. If you have kids that are in the dorms, go ahead, you can put them down, but they will be counted in the dorm that they're at. And if they are in a dorm in New Mexico, they're going to be counted in New Mexico. So same with the jails. If they are in a jail in Oklahoma, they're going to be counted in Oklahoma.
Okay. And so like with college housing, with a dorm, but they should not expect to get a census form in the dorm.
Not in the dorm. However, a lot of college kids, again, that generally undercounted, hard to count population, think that, well, I'm living in an apartment, but I'm still, you know, mom and dad still pay for everything. Fill out your form, because mom and dad aren't going to count you if you live in an apartment. If you live in a dorm, yes, mom and dad will count you and we'll do the group quarters. But if you live off of the university, fill out your form. And, you know, it's coming out around spring break time, and that's the last thing on a kid's mind. But again, you know, the federal funding, scholarships, programs that a lot of college kids use are based on the census numbers, so it's real important that they make sure.
And
they
those 2 weeks are a college break week for a lot of schools.
Yes, they are.
So they're only going to have a few weeks. But even, let's say, you know, let's say the mail was delayed in your area. You didn't get it. You got it while you were away. You come back. It's after April 1st. You still want to send it in on April 3rd.
You still want to send it in. Absolutely. Absolutely. And if somebody thinks that they didn't get a form or they misplaced their form or put it in the trash, we'll have what we call questionnaire assistance centers, which are manned by census employees. That's you can go there and get help filling out your form. They'll have language guides in 59 different languages to help you. And we'll also have what we call Be Counted sites. And it's just like a little box. You can go and pick up a form and fill it out. And again, because of the barcoding, if you fill it out twice, we're going to know. We're going to know by the addresses that you put on there. But if you think you threw it away, because first thing I do when I get my mail is go through it and put it in the recycle bin if it's just trash. I'm hoping I don't miss my form because I know they'll probably ask, did you fill your form out? But if I do, I can go to a Be Counted site and or a questionnaire assistance center and get another form and fill it out. And those sites will be available online for people to go put in their zip code and say, oh, here's the sites in my area.
Or if, I mean, you rely on getting this in the mail, if it just doesn't happen to come to your house because two of them were stuck together and they both went to your next door neighbor and you just didn't get yours. I mean, that
correct, exactly.
Out of how many households in this country, that's going
that's gonna
to happen.
That's going to happen. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So that's what we have that.
I'm fascinated by the many opportunities under race to be able to really pinpoint your heritage.
That's correct.
And I think that's really a wonderful thing in this country.
It is. And one of the things you mentioned, Patty, was the Native Americans. They are doing, the Federal Registry has a list of the exact name of each tribe. And for those in the Native American community, it's real important that you know what your tribe is registered as and you put that on your census form. Because if you just put Apache, that's not going to reflect your tribe. And so they're really doing a lot of outreach to the Native American community to let them know that if you are in a specific tribe, put that tribe on your census form as it is in the Federal Registry so that those numbers are accurately reflected, which, you know, some people might not think about, but it's real important for those tribes. Again, with the money and the grants and things like that, it's real important.
And the same is true with Hispanic, Latino,
correct,
Asian, Pacific Islander.
Pacific Islander.
You can really be very, very specific.
Yes, you can.
But some of that is just more for information. I understand with the tribes because that has to do with money going to different groups. There's one question that just says, is this person Hispanic, Latino, or Spanish origin? And the answers are no, not Hispanic. Yes, Mexican, Mexican-American, or Chicano. Yes, Puerto Rican, yes, Cuban, or yes, another Hispanic, Latino, or Spanish origin group, and you can specify yourself.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Are these going to matter anywhere? And when I say does it matter, it's like, let me give the example of Miguel. He's from Bolivia, so he could put Bolivian, but they just identified 30, somebody just told me what it was, different ethnic groups within Bolivia that are native ethnic groups within Bolivia, and he could put one of those. But we're not getting so specific that a particular native ethnic group from Bolivia that's living in this country, what
right.
I'm really asking is, do all those matter in any way?
I think just for the Hispanic population, it does matter. And it just, again, breaks it down even a little bit more to see, you know, the diversity. Again, the census will give us a snapshot of who we are as a nation. You've seen the commercials, oh, a snapshot of America. Well, it really does, to see how diverse we are. And the more diverse we get, the harder we are to count. And so, it gives us an idea of who we are as a nation and how we're growing.
Patty, why don't you list, what are the categories? There's race, ethnicity, or do you have that?
You know, it's places where you live.
Because I know you talked about, age. You know, with your job, and how this is what you do, and how there's some confusion about your race and ethnicity.
Well, I think it really comes down to one's origin, you know, and what, for example, in the Jewish community, and probably David could speak to this, it would say your ethnicity is Jewish. Would you?
No, religion.
That would be your religion.
That would just be religion. But some people would put down for the ethnicity, whether they're Sephardic or Ashkenazic, which is Eastern European.
Because it's cultural. That's a cultural identity, whether regardless where you were born, where your citizenship is, what race you might be. If you have a cultural background, then that's really where ethnicity
comes. That clarifies for me, because I've never really I've kind of always thought race and ethnicity were interchangeable.
No, mm-hmm.
Not really, no.
Because I'm Jewish, I'm Ashkenazic, which is Eastern European. My ethnicity would be Hungarian, though, because that's what my father's family spoke at home.
That would be language.
Wait, Hungarian, wouldn't that be his nationality?
Nationality, right. But that's the language that they spoke at home. You know, everybody says to me, ooh, don't you know Yiddish? No, my family didn't speak Yiddish. They spoke Hungarian.
But all those things are in the
census. And when my father had Alzheimer's, he reverted to Hungarian, which only worked once when we were in a Hungarian restaurant and he was able to order.
I don't think most people realize what the differences between ethnicity and race are.
Right. But again, it's self-identifiable.
Right.
You
exactly.
identify this in the way that you see yourself.
Right. So questions number 5 and 6, basically, if you're white, you just check white, and you don't want to go any further than that, you don't need to.
Right. Correct. That's absolutely right. And then if you want
to go any more than that, because there are a lot of black families that don't know where they're from. I mean, there are a number of people who are going back doing some genetic testing to find out what part of Africa. Do you have any idea?
No. And like you were saying, I think one of you works with a black guy, but he considers himself Hispanic.
Correct. That's correct. He's a black Hispanic.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, you were talking earlier that there are some jobs in that still need to be filled.
Yes.
And we have a lot of listeners who need jobs.
There are jobs that still need to be filled.
If anybody wants a job with the Census Bureau, the jobs will last through when?
Anywhere between late May to late July.
The number is 866-861-2010. 2010.
And in the Cedar Springs up to about, you know, Mockingbird, Inwood, Harry Hines area, in this whole general area, they need applicants. They have to test so many thousand just to hire, you know, get somebody to pass and hire a certain number. And so they really need people to go test. They're really trying to do recruiting everywhere. So if you need even if you have a full-time job and want to work part-time at night, because that's when they go out, when people are home at night or on the weekends, it's a great way to earn some extra money.
Okay, you said you have to be tested. What skills do you need?
Be able to read and understand a map. And they hire in the community that you live. So if your zip code is whatever, that's where you work. You don't go to Plano or Frisco. You hire in the community that you live.
Well, let's say there are some people like in the 75235 zip code, which is where we are, but they need them in the 75219 zip code, which is right down the street here. Do they do neighboring areas?
They should, yes, because it's considered a tract, an area, and you have to live in this area.
So somebody who lives, you know, just over the border in Highland Park who would like to work in Oak Lawn, that they'd consider
city. They might consider that.
Different city.
I have a question about working. I live in Tarrant County, so I couldn't work over here, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's really all I was thinking, because
no.
I don't know if they're even hiring over there.
Well, they're hiring everywhere, but like in Plano, they've reached their goal. I mean, they still are testing people, but in this Dallas Central area, they are way below goal, and they need people to go and test.
Well, I have an idea for Alex. He could call 866
861
2010.
Well,
2010.
I think I'll try that, actually. Yes. Sounds like a great idea.
They'll tell him.
And Elizabeth's entourage, Joy, has been using fingers to signal us things, and that was a thumbs up.
Yes, that was a thumbs up. Yes.
Not that all of them were. But
I'm real good at segues.
And there's a practice test online as well. If somebody wants to practice the test, they can go to 2010census/jobs and do the practice test and, play with it and work on it.
Is there a special need for multilingual people?
Yes, there are, especially in this area. Mm-hmm. Especially in this area for Spanish-speaking and a few different other languages as well.
So. And Jennifer was asking if it's important that you know how to count.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but Jennifer, just per household, because you're not going to need to go, you don't have to add up the whole street.
Right, you don't add them up. You're so, you're asking the questions that are on the questionnaire.
As long as you can add up to 12, because if there's more people than... What do you do if there, for whatever reason, are more than 12 people in the household?
Something they have a supplemental form.
So Octomom has...
Yeah, she's going to need two forms.
Just a quick reminder about the North Texas Mixer with Equality Texas and the Collin County Gay and Lesbian Alliance and the United States Census. That's coming up on March 5th. That's a Friday from 6 to 8. Go to ccgla.org for more information. And be sure to get out there and attend that. That's going to be great. You can get your pink form from NGLTF, the task force, at queerthecensus.org. Just go there, fill out the form, and they'll send you one for free. And there are lots of other, Our Families Count.
OurFamiliesCount.org is also a big census partner. Equality Texas is a big census partner, and we did a town hall in Austin that was just, it was incredible how many people showed up, and so we're looking to duplicate that all over Texas, and the Stonewall Democrats, they were impressed by it, so we're excited.
And let's just give a couple of reasons that people in the LGBT community in particular should be interested in this. What are the numbers going to be used for other than just the original purpose, which was representation in Congress?
Well, Meals on Wheels came out of the census. Head Start programs came out of census numbers. So we use roads, we use hospitals, we use everything that federal funding could go to. So it's important for everyone fill it out. It's easy. 10 questions, 10 minutes, 10 years of your life that it affects. It's important, the money, representation, and it's safe.
Healthcare,
confidentiality,
Ryan White,
right. In 2008, Dallas County got $22 million of federal funding for AIDS and HIV programs. I mean, that's the one small thing that I could pull out of the 2008. So it's big. The numbers, the money's big. And so it's important for everyone to fill it out and return it.
And we are completely out of time. I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you guys for so
thank
much
you.
For having me.
Yeah,
great guests. Both of you were great guests.
Even if Joy did give you the finger, thank you for being here. Next week, who's our guest?
I'm not sure.
I know we have one. I guess I'll have to look up. It's on our Facebook page. You can always find us online. And our new website is, Alex?
Oh, our new website is lambdaweekly.com. Yeah.
And I couldn't remember that.
Okay, well then, that's what it is.
So LambdaWeekly.com. Yes. And we'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly.
We're going out with some music from Janis Joplin.